pleasure to introduce to you Mr. Harold McKay from Greensboro, North Carolina.
It has been said that running through every inch of cordage used by the British Navy, there's to be found a scarlet thread indicating the official ownership of that rope. It belongs to the government. Of infinitely greater importance is the fact that, running through every portion of the Bible, is the scarlet cord of the redeeming blood of Christ. And it is this red line of redemption that authenticates the Bible as the Word of God. Someone has said, cut the Holy Scriptures anywhere, and they bleed with the precious blood of the Lamb of God. In Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, we have the three tremendously important words. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. As I said, there are three very important things in this verse that I now draw your attention to. First, the requirement. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. God requires blood as an atonement for sin. Nothing else will suffice. No substitute will be accepted in its place. It is the blood. This is in direct contrast and contradiction to cultured man's idea as to what constitutes the ground of acceptance before God. The moralist says, I'm respectable, upright, moral, honest, and conscientious. God says, it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. The religionist says, I say my prayers, read my Bible, attend my church. God says, it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. The ceremonialist says, I take communion, obey the ordinances, follow the ritual of my church. God says, it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. The denominationalist says, I belong to my denomination. That is the true church. I believe that this will take me to heaven. God says, it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. The baptismal regenerationist says, I have been baptized. That is when I was born again. That is my hope. The Bible says, it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. The liberalist says, that is the religion of the shambles to be talking about the blood. It's a hangover from heathenism and the Dark Ages. We don't believe that crude doctrine nowadays. God says, it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Friends, God does not argue about the matter. He simply, definitely, clearly, and finally states the fact. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. The man who has no blood has no atonement. The religion that has no blood has no redemption. The church that preaches no blood preaches no salvation. The souls that do not rely upon the blood rest on a foundation of sand. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Why did God reject Cain's offering and accept Abel's? There was no blood in Cain's. There was in Abel's. And Abel's was the more excellent sacrifice than Cain's. What did God declare on the night of Israel's Passover in Egypt? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. But you object, that was in Old Testament days. That was before the revelation of God in Christ. Things are different now, are they? Listen to the words of the New Testament. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Hebrews 9:22. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1:7. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Revelation 1:5. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Revelation 5:9. Old and New Testament unite in declaring and in proving that it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Now, not only does our verse in Leviticus 17:11 tell us of God's requirement, but it gives us the reason for this requirement. It's not an arbitrary requirement, but a most logical one. Here's the reason for the requirement of blood for atonement. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The blood is the life. Take away the blood, and you take away the life. Now that is exactly what sin had done. It had taken life. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Those were the warning words of God to Adam. Man did eat, man sinned, and thus man died. He died spiritually when he lost contact with his God. He died physically when he lost contact with his sin. And he will die eternally, out of contact forever with God, with Christ, and with the redeemed, unless life is restored to him. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Man's life was forfeited because of his sin against the holy God. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Thus, man having forfeited his life because of his sin, must find another life to give in making atonement for his sins. That life is to be found only in a substitute, whose blood would be shed as an act of atonement. Either the sinner must die, or his substitute must die for him. Blood was the evidence that a life had been taken, and thus atonement had been made. But now, we come to the third truth contained in our verse. Here is not only God's requirement, and God's reason for his requirement, but God's remedy to meet his requirement. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. God himself has provided the remedy. In the Old Testament before Christ came, God provided the remedy by instructing men to approach him with the blood of a sacrifice. And he graciously accepted such blood and such offerings of lambs, goats, and other animals in view of the sacrifice of his own son in due time. Now this book of Leviticus that I've read to you from is a great book of worship. God is teaching man, who'd been ruined in Genesis and redeemed by blood in Exodus, to approach him with an offering of animal sacrifices and to present such to him as an act of worship. Now, God has provided the remedy in the person of his only son. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Hebrews 9:14. Christ himself declared, on that memorable night as he instituted the Lord's Supper, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's God's arresting cry to all sin-sick souls. I've read of a lady who protested to an evangelical preacher who had just finished a grand declaration of salvation through the blood of Christ. "Doctor," said she, "I don't like your theology." To what do you object? "I don't believe in the fountain filled with blood." Well, just one question, my dear lady. With what would you fill it? And what would you fill the fountain with, friends? The fountain that is to cleanse away the foul, dark, dreadful, heinous stain of sin, other than the blood of God's redeeming Lamb. You can't fill it with anything that man can produce. Earth can provide nothing to cleanse away that foul stain of sin. But thank God, God has. And giving his beloved Son to that shameful death on Calvary's cross, God has provided salvation through the blood of his beloved Son. And so nothing else will fill the fountain. It still stands. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul.